Welcome to the Minister's Friend podcast with pastor and author Dr. John Kimball. The Minister's Friend is a podcast helping pastors and other church workers navigate the challenges of leading the flock. John has been a church planter, a local church pastor, a seminary professor, and a denominational leader. He coaches and mentors pastors and missionaries around the world. Drawing on over 30 years of experience in local, regional, and national ministry, John and some of his colleagues provide practical guidance on the topics you request. We are so glad you've joined us. And now, here's our host, Pastor John.
Thanks, Anna. Hi, everyone. And welcome to episode 11 of the Minister's Friend podcast. I'm so glad you've joined us today. Pornography. It's a worldly issue, right? It's mostly used by men, and it affects the most urban populations, right? Many may think that pornography is not a major issue for Christians, but the sad reality is that porn is now an epidemic in American churches, and it's affecting even the young ones in some cases. Online movie and television applications make it easy to bring nudity into one's living room. Well-known Hollywood stars now accept roles that require nudity and mock sexual activity. And with the popularity of novels like the 50 Shades trilogy, what used to be abhorrent sexual behavior has now become accepted. You might just be surprised how many women in your own church have read that series or have seen the movies. Our society, including the American church, has become desensitized to the sexualization all around us. Men, women, teens, church leaders, and even pastors now struggle with pornography and sex addiction. And the problem is growing. In this episode of The Minister's Friend, we continue my interview with Paul Zunker, the founder of Turnback Ministries based out of the Twin Cities of Minnesota. Today, Paul helps us understand what happens in the human brain as porn addiction takes root. Most people do not realize that porn causes a real physiological addiction. We're also going to review the most reliable statistics on pornography in the church. You might just be surprised. Again, this episode's topic is not appropriate for younger listeners. Here's part two of my conversation with Paul. What happens in the brain? Because I've got a little bit of knowledge of this from my counseling classes and things that I've taken, but it sounds to me like you've had a little more training in this, and I would love to know, what is the addictive behavior that happens in the brain because of pornography?
Mm-hmm. And the brain really has become the thing that's the most fascinating to me. And as I was going through my recovery, there's a lot of shame surrounding this type of sin, this particular sin, which is one of the things that makes it easy to keep it in the dark and not talk about, because you don't want it brought to the light. But as I was going through my treatment, and especially the Seven Pillars curriculum, I started to understand what was happening in my brain during an addiction, where the neural pathways, as I'm watching pornography, there's chemicals in my brain that are getting released. You know, primarily dopamine is the biggest one there. And the more that that's getting released, it's physically changing the structure of my brain. So as I got to understand that, it helped me to be able to say, oh, I'm not just this horribly perverted, demented guy that can't stop watching this stuff. My brain, for as long as I was watching it, physically changed. And when you go through a drug addiction or an alcohol addiction, those same things happen, to where you know it's wrong, you know you want to stop, but the limbic portion of your brain, once it's triggered and takes you down that road, you're down that road. So I equate it to, you know, the old pioneer days where their covered wagons would go to their settlement, and they would go in the same direction so often that there would be ruts ground into the dirt, into the road, where the horses didn't even have to steer anymore. They just pulled them, and the wagons just went and went and went. Well, now we have to settle over here instead of over here, and they got to get out of those ruts. Very difficult for that to do, and the wheels would break and all of that. Same type of thing is happening in the brain. The neural pathways are moved over to go to pornography or go to alcohol or go to drugs, whatever your addiction may be. When you try to get out of that, you physically have to retrain those neural pathways in your brain to go this way now instead of that way. It's incredibly difficult to do. But the more you do it, the easier it becomes to start going in God's way instead of going the old way to the sin that you wanted to go before. But we always tell guys, this is going to be the hardest thing that you ever have to go through, is to break free from an addiction like this one, because the vice that we need to medicate over is right in our heads. All those images, all those things that we go to is right there in our head. So that's why it becomes such an addictive thing. I think for one is it's so easy to go to.
Yeah.
And just recall memories. But for two, there's been plenty of chemicals washing through that brain that we now have to physically retrain to go the other direction when we're triggered.
Wow. That's really helpful. And I love that you say, you know, that you realized you weren't this horrible person, that there really was something going on in the brain that was causing that addiction. Yeah. And I hope that there are people listening to the podcast today that's an aha for them, that there is something physiological that's happening with this addiction. And maybe also for some of the church folks that are having to deal with somebody who's addicted, to realize they're not a horrible person necessarily, that they may have an addiction that needs to be loved and given grace to and good counseling and care and direction, as opposed to being judgmental. Yes. I know, you know, in my denominational role years ago when I was leading care ministry for my denomination, I had a conversation with a pastor who was really struggling with pornography, and he told me that it was months before he actually could dial the phone and call me because, you know, he felt like I had the power to, in his words, defrock him.
Yes.
And he was really afraid of what the consequences would be. And what I told him was, I said, you know, it's far more important to me for you to get help, you know, before it's too late. And my prayer is that other church leaders will feel the same way. Mm-hmm. Paul, you know, there are numbers all over the map with regard to statistics on porn. I've seen some from Focus on the Family. I've seen some from other ministries and things. I'm just wondering, do you have a handle on what the real stats are about men in the U.S. using porn?
Yeah, and I would point people, and I do point people today, to Josh McDowell's ministry, where he, along with the Barna Group, did a study that they titled The Porn Phenomenon. And that's the most current numbers, especially from a faith-based perspective. But those are the most current numbers that we have out there. And in those numbers, they did, you know, 3,000 data points. So they talked to 3,000 different people in evangelical church circles, not necessarily e-free, but just evangelically bent churches. And that's where these results came from. So those numbers say that 63% of men in those church pews today are in some form of sexual bondage and frequently look at pornography. So 63% is a pretty high number.
Yeah.
And from our numbers that we've done through some of the studies that we've seen, you know, through Pure Desire and other things, that number jumps about 10% to 73%. So, you know, between 60 and 70% of those men are in some form of sexual bondage defined as frequently looking at pornography. And the number that's interesting to me is anywhere between 20 and 30% of women are now admitting that they're in some form of sexual bondage. And we have lots of those groups at Grace, where there's groups for the spouses of men, wives of the men who have been through it, where they can get support and deal with their emotions and the pain from that. But now we have women's sexual addiction groups coming and women joining these groups too. And as we listen to them talk, they say that it's been very difficult for them to talk about their own struggles here because this has been, quote, a man's problem for many years.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult for them to admit that they have the problem. And so the number I think that you're going to find very interesting too as well is 58% of the pastors in that study say they're in some form of sexual bondage.
Yeah.
So that's 58% of the pastors in the pulpit are saying they're in some form of sexual bondage, again defined as that they've looked at pornography over the last number of weeks before that study. And when you dig deeper into that, 5% of that 58% of pastors say that it's an addiction for them, that they want to stop but they can't.
Yeah, you know, that's actually not a surprise to me, which is why I'm doing this podcast. I've seen and heard the stories of several pastors over the years who are really struggling and they want to break free. And this has really been on my heart for a long, long time because of that. So that number, unfortunately, it really does not surprise me.
Right.
The one thing I'm just, you know, I'm cognizant of is these are the people who are admitting to it. And if the numbers for men, for example, is between 60 and 70% and those who are admitting, how many are not? And what does that make that number?
That's the staggering part of it when you think about that.
Right.
It could be significantly higher. And I think a lot of people say, oh, you know, 60%, 70% of the guys in the pews, there's no way that many are looking at pornography. Well, I can tell you from the work I've done with men over the years, I believe that number because of the numbers that I've seen of the guys coming through.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you know, back when I was a kid, back when I was a teenager, you know, you had to act physically go into a store and buy a magazine. And so it, you know, the embarrassment factor kind of helped to control that. But now, man, you can just whip out your phone and it's right there ready, no matter where you're standing. And
that's the problem. Yeah. I mean, that really is what's contributed to, you know, the average age of exposure to pornography is now 8 years old. I believe that's the reason why, is it's so accessible. But even aside from pornography, John, it's a hyper-sexualized world that we're living in. You know, I give the example of, you know, last year I'm behind a bus. I'm 35W here in Minneapolis, and there's an ad for Victoria's Secret right on the bus in front of me.
Yep.
Now, what am I supposed to do with that? Explain to the trooper why I crashed into the bus because I closed my eyes driving. But it is everywhere. And we really can't get away from it. So it's a matter of the heart, I believe, and that's what we tell our guys in groups. It's not a matter of behavior modification. It's a matter of getting our heart right. Before the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, that is so true. You know, you think about online outlets like Netflix and Hulu and these other places where you can watch movies and watch shows and stuff. And I was surprised last year with my family. We were watching a British detective show, one that I had really liked, and there was skin in the show. I mean, it was one that apparently was on their regular broadcast television. It's really shocking how much is allowable today and is considered okay.
And if you want to talk, you know, numbers of things too, a stat that I just saw not that long ago was, you know, one of the largest pornography hubs that's out there on the internet today gets more traffic than Amazon, Twitter, and Netflix all combined in a single month. So there's more visitors to Pornhub in 1 month than there is to
Seriously?
Netflix, Twitter, and what's the other one I said? Amazon, all combined.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Give you an idea of the problem that's out there.
Yeah. The number one pornography site in the world has more traffic than Amazon, Netflix, and Twitter combined. In a recent article, Christian apologist Josh McDowell was quoted as describing the porn situation within the church as epidemic, adding that at least 78.8% of all men that attend evangelical churches watch pornography. Probably 80% of all evangelical youth pastors also watch pornography, and now the greatest increase is among women and young ladies. It's killing us, says McDowell. 64% of all Christian families have an acute problem with pornography. Folks, we have got to talk about this. We have compiled several links and resources for you. Please check out today's show notes for more information. And as we've noted before, if you're really struggling and need to speak to someone about your own use of pornography, we've provided contact information for you for both Turnback Ministries and Pure Desire Ministries. There are folks in both of these ministries who are ready and able to help you. Next week, we'll continue my interview with Paul Zunker. We're going to talk about both steps of prevention and what can be done for people who find themselves stuck in a porn cycle from which they cannot escape. You won't want to miss it. If you've been blessed by The Minister's Friend, would you please subscribe on whatever platform you listen and leave us a review? It really helps us. And please also be sure to tell your friends about us. Your recommendation to other people is the only way we can grow our audience. Thanks in advance for your help. I'm glad you were with us today. Again, be sure to check out our show notes. And thank you so much for joining us here on the Minister's Friend Podcast. Let's do this again real soon.
You've been listening to the Minister's Friend Podcast with pastor and author John Kimball. Be sure to check out today's show notes for additional tools, resources, and information. If today's episode has been helpful to you, let us know. You can shoot us an email at podcast@johnrkimball.com. That's podcast@johnrkimball.com. You can also leave a note on our Facebook page. These are also the best ways to suggest topics for future shows. We want to hear from you. And please tell your friends about us. Until next time, may God bless you and your ministry with great fruit for His kingdom. Bye!